We, if you'd like, we're going to start with, let me get one of these because I marked it right on there. We're going to start with verse 17. These first few verses, I think, are just absolutely awesome. It seems to me that every time sickness got close to Jesus, it got healed. And when people that were possessed of the devil, and you know, we look and we say, well, why were there so many people possessed with the devil? Because it was a pagan time, and paganism is all about worshiping the devil. Years ago, when I was a teenager, we had it was a big thing that there was a Church of Satan in San Francisco, and the pastor was Anton LaVey. They made a big deal every Halloween about this guy. And I thought, you know, he's doing evil all the time. And he had written the Bible. He had gone through the satanic Bible. He had gone through every scripture. And what the Bible said to do, he said, or said not to do, he said you should do these things. And I thought, you know, that's at first it seemed like it was just a joke. But it's no joke to come against the Word of God. And it's no joke to worship Satan. But there was a lot of satanic activity in the time of Christ. But when the devils came up against Jesus, they bowed. And they still bow today because Jesus is the King of Kings. Jim, you want to read 17, 18? Debbie, you want to read 19 and we'll hold 20 for a minute.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all.
That's the words I like so much, that he healed them all. And I've stated that several times, but I'm so grateful when God meets every need of all the people that were sick. And It just seems like these people, once they found out what Jesus could do, they wanted their healing. Now, today we live in a world where you can get medical help for any situation. My dad's mom passed away when she was 39 years old. And I think if she had lived in a time like today, she'd probably have lived to be, 60 or 70 or maybe even a little longer, because the condition that she had, they just didn't have the money nor the ability to, to get the medical treatment. I don't think it was that she was that bad off, but in that time she was. So these people lived a long time ago, and so they couldn't run down to Kaiser like we do, and man, you can get them, 100... you get access to hundreds of doctors. And I went to one doctor with my throat, and he said, you're just getting old, too bad. And I went back and I told my doctor and my therapist, I said, I don't like that answer. And she said, well, let's find you another opinion then. And I got another opinion, and here's someone that was willing to make an effort and to try. We have that, but at this time they didn't have what we have, but they had Jesus. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus healed their diseases. Jesus was a specialist in whatever was wrong with them. They didn't have to go to three doctors. They just went directly to Jesus. And it makes sense that the one that created us could heal anything that's wrong. Some of the message that we're going to be looking at today is a Sermon on the Mount. And I know it says that he came down and stood in the plain. And so, so the commentary says, well, he just come down the mountain away and got on a level spot and he began to minister. But as he was, before he began to teach, and Luke records a Sermon on the Mount differently than Matthew. Matthew uses three chapters to do it. And I think each one of them was speaking what the Spirit of God laid upon their heart. But Luke told about these sick people getting well. It seems like Jesus had somewhere from 50 to 100 people kind of with him all the time. Now, we know the 12 disciples were, the stalwarts and the ones that he leaned on. But he had people following him, people that wanted to hear what he had to say, and also they needed something from the Lord. Jesus offered everything they needed. He had the Word of God. Everything he spoke was the Word of God, and he could touch them and minister to them. The people who had the unclean spirits, they were healed. Not all sickness comes from the devil or unclean spirits. There's a lot of reasons we get sick. And for someone to think that it's the devil in every situation, it's just not the case. But the case is Jesus is the healer, no matter what the source of the sickness is. He can heal. And so the whole multitude, they just wanted, you remember when the lady touched the hem of his garment, and the disciples, he said, someone touched me, and the disciples said, yeah, like everybody's touching you. And Jesus said, yeah, but somebody really touched me, they've been touched, they've been healed. And so he turned around and sought out the little lady that was healed of the issue of blood, he wanted to commend her for her faith and let her know that she would be completely healed. So everybody was looking to touch the Lord because of the virtue that went out, the power. And that's why, sickness didn't stand a chance when it got in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say that he's still the healer today. And I just want to see the healing power of God flow in our lives and minister to each and every one of us, and the restoration of God be in our bodies, be in our spirit, and be in our soul. God is able to minister to us completely, and we want to receive that. I've never met anyone sick that didn't want to get healed. We did have one testimony of someone that didn't want to get healed because of something to do with the disability insurance and staying off work a little bit, but I'm not going to go into that too much. But God was in the healing business, and I think she was touched whether she wanted to be healed or not. And that's pretty amazing. Debbie, you want to catch us up with verse 20? Now, this sounds a bit like what we hear in Matthew, the Beatitudes, the blessings. And then, of course, the book of Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's what this is meaning as well. We're going to have four things that Jesus is going to pronounce blessing upon. And then we're going to have four woes, and they're just the opposite of the four blessings. So blessed are the poor in spirit, or people who are humble. Not necessarily meaning people that are totally broke, but blessed are the poor in spirit. We live in one of the most prosperous areas in the world. We have, you know, you never know when you're talking to a millionaire in this area, because people have been blessed, and the companies that we've worked for, that some have worked for, I only work with myself, so we've never had stock options and all that stuff. I just work. But there's been great blessings in this area. Yet there are still people that had to have very little, or in some cases, nothing. You see people on the street. I'm talking to one of my clients who's also a family member, said that years ago there was a guy that he knew of that was homeless, and it was cold. And he works for a distributorship, and they give him coats all the time. He said, I had a brand new coat that I knew would fit him, and I took it out and handed it to him and said, here, it's cold, put this on and you just keep it. And the guy turned around to him and cussed him and said, get out of here, I don't need, if I asked you for something, that'd be one thing, I didn't ask you for something. So I guess there is a reason some people are on the streets, and this one just didn't want help. But because there are people that are needy, I was studying this lesson a couple of weeks ago, and last week there was a guy that was out in the median strip. You notice that's a neat place for people to ask for money. It's neat, but then again, it kind of messes with traffic a little bit. And I mean, for whatever reason, he was looking me right in the eye, and he said, can you help me? And so I grabbed my wallet, and Debbie said, what are you doing? How do you know? I said, I don't know, but I've just read all this, and I'm not going to mess with it. This is what the Lord says, is to help someone. That if they ask you for something, help them. And so that I want to put to practice what the Lord said. But there are people that are in need, and it is hard to know what someone's going to. Years ago, we had a guy come in and told us a story about there was myself, Bob Garner, Paul Robertson, who has since gone on, not to meet the Lord, but moved away. And we were there, and this guy came in and said, my mother-in-law hung herself in Modesto, and I don't have enough money to get a bus ticket to go over the hill. And so we pulled out, you know, 20 bucks each and gave him $60. Well, maybe this will help a little bit. Oh, yeah, it'll help a whole lot. And then after everybody was going home, it was about probably a half an hour later, maybe an hour later, Paul saw that this gentleman down at 7-Eleven purchasing booze with the money that we'd given him. And, you know, the thing is, our hearts were to help. And what people do and how they take advantage, that's between them and God. But we felt like a need, that there was a great need. This guy had a great story. But there's been so many times that we've helped people, and they've really been in need. And it's, what would you say, it's very nice to be able. Bob Garner hired, when we were all living in Texas, Bob Garner hired a truck driver that was living under a tree in an old bakery truck, and with his family. And there was a chance, we weren't making much in Texas. You did good just to take care of the bills. But we all got together food and whatever we could to help them out. And this is one that went on to do better and move into a house, and eventually they got back on their feet. But you know what? God said to give and let it go, right? We let it go. It belongs to those. But the poor in spirit, I'm kind of jumping ahead. You'll see that when we get there, possibly. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, that they might be blessed and have and possess the kingdom of God. Donnie, you want to read 21:22? That's 21, right? Can you read 22?
Blessed are you when men hate you
We'll work with those two verses right now. Again, a blessing for the people who are hungry, who are in need. Kevin, do you have a thought? No? if you're hungry, if you have a need, you're blessed and you will be filled. We've possibly all been hungry. We've all been thirsty. And it's so nice when that can be met. A few years ago, Debbie and I did Debbie was with me, but I was Santa Claus for the Squadron 94, which was a very nice restaurant. And I'll never forget the kids. They weren't as respectful for Santa Claus as they should have been. Let me just say that. They weren't physically abusive, but they weren't necessarily grateful for what the restaurant had provided for them. But I heard one man say, "This is the first time I've had milk in my coffee for over a year." And that really hit me. It's like, you know, something that we take for granted. And this guy was a homeless family. And this restaurant had closed down. I mean, it was a nice restaurant. They closed down and they put out a spread of food that was second to none. They had all the seafood and all that anything you would want, fruits and just desserts, everything, anything those people wanted, they gave them. And I thought that was so nice. And I was the only round guy that they could find to do the Santa Claus part. There are people that are hungry, but they'll be blessed if they seek God, and God will turn the hunger around and they will be filled. Blessed if you weep now, for you shall laugh. And comparable to blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comparable to hunger, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they shall be filled. And so when you have a need, when you have a situation, and you have something you need, God will provide that need. You trust in Him. The commentary brings up kind of a phase that the church went through that was holy laughter. How many have ever heard of holy laughter? It's kind of a big thing back a while back, I don't know about all, you know, I don't know about it as far as being a movement or anything like that, but I do know this. I know that there are people that God has moved upon by the Spirit, and they laugh. Sister Matlock comes to my mind. I think she was naturally a kind of a happy person. She seemed to be to me, but the Spirit of God would come upon her, and she would just, you know, she would just laugh, and you could tell that God was really ministering and blessing her. So God turns it around. God takes the mourning, and He sees the one of my. I say this too much. One of my favorite verses are that we should mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice, and not get it mixed up, because there are times that someone needs you to help them when they're low, and then there are times that they need you to rejoice with them and not try to bring them. Oh, don't get too happy. Something else will come along. You know, there's no sense in that. We want to bless when there's a blessing, and we want to pray with and help bear the burden when someone has a situation that's difficult. And now, blessed are ye when men hate you. That's tough, isn't it? We don't like being hated. We like being loved. But sometimes we're hated because of our relationship with the Lord, and called goody two-shoes and all of that stuff. But it's when we're hated for the sake of God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, then that's going to also be turned around, and we're going to find great big blessing. And there's going to be an eternity of blessing for our association with Jesus Christ. It's worth it. I don't care if everybody hates us. It's worth it to know Christ. Amen? Kevin, you want to read 23 and 24? You know, now, like I said, the verse 23 talks about the rejoicing for the persecution that we face upon this earth for Jesus' sake. Now, it does point out that that's for Jesus' sake. Sometimes people are just ornery, and they get persecuted or they're treated badly because they treat everybody else that way. That's not what the scripture promised blessings for. It promises blessings for people who have done good things for the Lord and have a great relationship with Jesus, and for Christ's sake, they're persecuted. Then you can rejoice forever and ever and ever. Leap for joy, because you're going to be blessed throughout eternity. But not if you're just hard to get along with, right? Not if it's something that you know, where you're antagonistic to someone else. That doesn't get the same blessing. That doesn't get any blessing. you're just ornery and grouchy. There's no blessing for that. But it turns around in verse 24 and says, "Woe to you that are rich, for you shall receive. You've received your reward or your consolation." Now that is those who trust in riches. There's a lot of scripture that deal with money. And with things, with possessions. It's not wrong to have things. It's wrong to put them before God and before people. The love of money is the root of all evil. But it's not meaning that if you have, you have things because of your hard work, that it's wrong or that you should get rid of it. I mean, if that were the case, then we couldn't do the things we do as a church. We work, we support the church, we're blessed, and we're thankful for that. But for people that it's all about money or things, then that's a different issue. Then there should be woe, and then there should be warning. You know, it's going to lead you to the wrong way. Jennifer, you want to read 25 and 26? 25, 26? So again, it just reverses, and it's woe to the ones that are full, for you shall be hungry. And again, for people that are taking advantage, or what would you say, that they are self-sufficient. I don't need anything from God. I'll make my own way. And I think that's probably one of the worst traits of man, where we think we can get away with doing what we want, doing it our way. Matter of fact, the commentary brings up that song, "I Did It My Way," you know, and a lot of people, well, it doesn't matter what people think, I did it my way, and it's my life, and so forth. But a life that's lived unto self is not one that's going to be fruitful, but a life that's lived devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ is one that's going to be blessed throughout eternity. So we need to do it His way. If we do it His way, then everything is covered. These are the blessings. And if you laugh now, you're going to mourn and weep. So the Lord is able to minister blessings to those who come to Him with a humble and an open heart, and He will be a great help to us. Sharon, you want to read 27, 28? Now, it doesn't get any better. Jesus is turning the teaching upside down. There's a lot of churches that never will read these type of verses because they want to keep everybody in a good mood. But when you hear teaching like that you should love your enemies, that's difficult. That's not my nature. My nature is to want to reach out and slap them if they're my enemies, right? But that's not what the Lord has called us to do. I've had people that I got on the wrong side of, and it didn't feel good. And I remember one guy, one day, we weren't getting along too good. I was working at in Newark. And he came in one day, and I said, "Hey, you need a cup of coffee?" And he said, "Yeah, that sounds good." And so I bought him a cup of coffee. And just a cup of coffee turned the relationship to where, you know, we were doing better. And it's amazing how that we can take people who have been enemies and turn them into friends by just having the right attitude. And God saw that. He sees that the possibilities are that you can turn people around. Do good to them that hate you. And that, again, that's hard. That's a hard thing to do. But this is what the Lord has asked us as our, and it's not us doing it, it's Christ. And so we're living Christ by doing these things, going against our grain. And generally, if whatever our grain is, if you go against it, you're probably doing the will of God. Amen? This verse 28 where it says, "Bless them that curse you." My mom used to work at a rest home. She was a nurse's aide. She never got beyond that. She didn't have the education, nor did she apply to the schooling for any. She wanted to be an LVN, but she never got around to it. So she retired as a nurse's aide. And at that, and she was on the night shift, she got some of the hardest jobs that there were, getting people ready for bed and feeding the dinner meal and all. And it was sometimes, she said, those people would cuss me up one side and down the other. And she said, "But you know what I told them?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "The Bible says to bless them that curse you and pray for them who despitefully use you." I said, "Well, what did they do?" She said, they kept on cursing. But Mom had the right idea. Those people needed her help, and she had a job to do. And where someone else might not have been able to handle it, Mom had the right attitude. She's just going to do her job and not be slowed down by that. But again, this goes against what's easy for us. But and at the same time, it's what the Lord wants for our lives, how he wants us to live. And then as we seek his will, we see it right here pretty clear, what he wants us, how he wants us to do. Sharon, did you read? Yes? Or did you read? Or oh, you did. Okay. All right. Don, you want to read? No? Okay. Marilyn, do you want to read 29 and 30, I think? So that's the scripture, verse 30, that I read before I gave that guy a couple of bucks in the park strip. And Debbie said, "He's got nice clothes on and nice shoes." And I said, "Yeah, I know, but when you read this word like that, you got to kind of do what you can." But turning the other cheek, that's hard. And I've heard people say, "Well, the Bible says if they smite you on one cheek, turn them to the other. And if they smite you on that cheek, then you can let them have it." The Bible doesn't say that. That's what we want to do. But the Bible doesn't say that. What the Bible is saying is kind of go along with people and not try. I think really it's to take the sharpness off of our lives to where we're not out causing trouble all the time. And there were situations where people could ask, tax collectors could ask for help, and soldiers could ask to walk a little bit with carrying their burden, and people had to do it. That was just part of being under the Roman government. But what Jesus is trying to do is to make his followers not seem like militants that are out to, kill the world. We're not to go out and attack people, but rather love them and with the love of Christ win souls. You know, there's probably a lot of Well, we see it. We see clearly that there were tax collectors that sought Jesus, and there were probably Roman soldiers that also got in on his blessing. We know of the centurion and his servant, but there were probably many more. People, no matter where they come from. A while ago, we read the one about Judea and in the area of Galilee and Tyre and Sidon. People come from everywhere wanting some help, and Jesus gave that to them. So if someone asks you for something, give to them. And not just because you want to make interest on a loan. It's not about that. It's about giving. And not everything is about giving money. Sometimes there's other things that we can give. And God will bless what we give. It's being unselfish. That's what God's called us to be. Trust in God that he will reimburse anything. If God says give something and you give it, I believe God will bless you. I believe he'll turn around and bless you. Now the next verse is a very famous verse. Becky, you want to read 31, 32? Now, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. And in other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. That's a great philosophy. And it's a great way to live our lives so that we sow what we want to receive. So we help others when there's a need. We would want that kind of help. I know some people are always desperate. I know people that are that way. It always have a need. And we may not be able to take care of all of their need, but we can take care what we can and be the blessing that we can. And then verse 32 says, if you love them that love you, that's easy to do. And even the sinners do that. They love their friends and their family. So we've got to kind of go beyond that a bit. Sister Watson, you want to read 33, 34?
And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again.
I think I'm getting tired of being compared to those old sinners. But the scripture is truth. So if we do what we do, if we do good, and if we lend, even the sinners do that. But we have to go beyond that in doing our good. And it is difficult to do good and not have it appreciated. I understand that. But God's given us a word to where we are a giving, loving, unselfish people, hospitable, reaching out and, blessing people. That should be the work of a church, is to bless and curse not. The scripture's pretty clear on that. We don't have an option to curse someone. We have the option to bless only. And if we bless them, I've not been around too many people for too long. Probably not over 6 months, to where someone may make fun of our faith, but generally within a 6-month period of time, they're going to come up with a need where they're going to come to you and I and say, will you pray for me? Will you pray for my child or my wife? Or you know what? It's just a matter of life hurts. And when people know that you believe in God and you pray, they'll come. We've had a lot of people come and ask our church for prayer, send a word, hey, pray for us because we need a touch. And I'm glad that we're able to pray. We're able to offer help. Henry, you want to read 35, 36? So we're called to love and called to do good and to lend, and not looking for something in return, but just to be that kind of a person. And in that, we're going to be brought into a position of being the children of the Most High God. He's going to protect us. He's going to bless us. And we really have nothing that we're going to need because of the good that we do. The scripture says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. I can't think of a day ever that I don't ask God for mercy. I sure don't go before God and say, oh God, give me what I deserve. I'm very careful with that. Very careful, because I deserve nothing. And what I want is mercy. And so the scripture says, show mercy, give mercy, be merciful. And there are times where we're in a position to where we can offer mercy, and we need to be careful that we are, at that point, merciful. I don't know that everybody that we meet, we even have the option to be merciful, but there are some. And then we need to show that mercy, show the love of God. And we have to go on to the next verse, which is another one that's difficult. Jim, you want to read 37, 38? I know that there's another scripture that says, judge not lest you be judged, that by the same judgment that you judge with, you're going to be judged by that. And I believe that's a fair rendering of what is spoken of here. The idea is not to jump on everybody that you see that is imperfect. Because if you look back at yourself, you'll understand that you're right there. We're all imperfect. And not to judge and condemn and jump on people to destroy them in their weakness, but rather offer them a hand of help and strength. And then forgive. We have an obligation to forgive because we seek that of God every day. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. It's part of the deal. So we have to forgive. Forgiving is not easy. It's a difficult thing. Why should I forgive? They look what they did, right? And people have done us wrong. There is no doubt about that. There is unfairness and injustice. When Morgan, our second granddaughter, was 3 years old or so, four, she would always say, not fair. There's a lot of not fair. She had an older sister that was 2.5, 3 years older than she was. And so she felt a lot of times like she's getting the raw end of the deal. But life is not fair. But we have to keep our heart to the point to where we help people in their not fairness rather than hurt them in that situation. Verse 38 is amazing. Give and it shall be given to you. Giving. And it's, again, it's not all about money. It's about an attitude. It's about a heart. People preach prosperity all the time. And I'm sorry, I am not going to go along with these guys that come up with a number. One guy was $35-something or $37 and something based on a scripture, $35.17. I'm sorry, that's crazy. You give to God. If you give to that guy, you could give that guy 10 times that amount, and it doesn't guarantee you anything. The scripture says, give and it shall be given. God is the one that's going to give back. So let's say I give, the Lord says, lays on my heart to give $1,000 to something. I may not get $1,000 back. I may get protection on the road or a family member healed, or you know what would be even greater? A family member saved. So it's not an investment strategy. It's a heart situation to where we give. We give because we love God, we give. But you know what? The interesting thing, too, is that God will cause men to give back to you. But it's, again, it's God that is the resource. You give to, and God will work that out. You don't have to worry about it. I've heard all kinds of stories about people giving and being given houses and cars and planes and all kinds of amazing things. My thing is just to give and let God handle the blessing. Let God. God will show you many things and bless and give grace and give strength. But when we give to God, you can rest. You cannot worry about what's going to happen. God is going to take care of you. That is His word. Debbie, you want to read 39 and 40? So I think that's a funny verse for Debbie to read, that first one, because years ago we were reading our Bibles and Debbie started laughing. Uncontrollable. Now, that's not like Debbie to go uncontrollable laughing. She's a pretty reserved person. I said, "What in the world is so funny?" She said, "Well, I was reading this where it said the blind shall lead the blind and they all fall in the ditch." And she said, "It just seemed funny to me." And I thought, well, it's not supposed to be funny. It's an illustration now. Come on, we got to take that seriously. But you know what? There are a lot of times where people are blind to the truth of God's word, and they're leading a lot of other people, and eventually they all will fall in the ditch. We need to have an understanding and clarity with the Word of God. That's what we're doing now. We're trying to break it down and get understanding to where we can, when we lead and when we talk about God and we talk about His Word, we know who He is according to what He's asked us. If God is willing to ask you to turn the other cheek, God will give you the strength and the mercy to do that. And He's willing. Now, nobody's going to get to God's cheek. I'm sorry, you just don't have the reach. But there are people that have hurt God through their actions, and God keeps showing mercy day after day after day, and he keeps reaching out to them. The disciple is not above his master. And, you know, there's something about having a master. The Bible says that we'll all serve one master or the other. We'll all serve God or we'll serve the devil. It's just that easy. The disciple is not above his master. Jesus experienced so many things, and he let us know he said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let's go on. Donnie, you want to read 41, 42? So we've heard this before, that why is it that you're worried about somebody else having a little speck in their eye when you've got a 2x4 in your eye? You need to make sure that you're clear before you go looking at somebody else's situation. And isn't it funny that how many's ever got something in your eye? Surely everybody. It's difficult when you get something, and it can be the smallest little thing, and it feels like it's you know, like a building in your eye. It's really rough. it's irritating, and we do everything that we can to get it out. So the scripture says you should first make sure your eyes are clear so you can really help someone else if they have a speck in their eye. More or less, we need to be careful that we're not pointing out problems. You're seeing something in someone else that you're not seeing in yourself. It's important, very important for us to have the right perspective. Kevin, you want to read 43, 44? We have a lemon tree in our backyard. It's a Meyer lemon that has the best lemons in the world. Now, the only one that I know of that was possibly about as good was the one I grew up with in San Leandro. Mom and Dad had a house on Menlo Street in San Leandro, and they had a little tree that was, when we first moved in, it was just nothing. Same with ours. I think we did an addition, and it was someone, I won't mention Bob's name, ran over the lemon tree. But that lemon tree has come back, and it does wonderful. I don't worry about it. We give away those little crates, milk crates full of lemons every year, twice a year. And I'm real happy to give them away because it's good lemons. Someone gave me some lemons the other day, and they said these aren't real good. They got real thick hulls on them and all that. And I said, okay, that's, you know, we'll make do. But a good tree gives good fruit, and a tree that's not so good won't give good fruit. It's just not going to happen. And then verse 44, the tree is known by its fruit, and you don't go. Matter of fact, there's one of the jobs I'm doing, there's an orange or lemon tree, and it's got a thorn that long. Having picked a lot of lemons off of my tree, those thorns are aggravating. They can really get you. You're trying to do something like relieve the tree of this fruit and take it and clean it up and give it away, and here's a thorn that's going to jab you. You don't go to a thorn bush. Lemons are aside from this. You don't go to a thorn bush to get fruit, nor a bramble to get grapes. You go to a tree that is that kind of tree, and you gather the fruit. Nothing like a good fruit tree. But the tree is known for its fruit. So are we. So are we known by our fruit. And the Lord is able to minister to you and I, and to make us all a good fruit-bearing tree that will be a blessing in the area that we're in. Jennifer, you want to read 45, 46? So, again, this just brings it right down to the trees are what they are, and so are people, and we need to work to be that good man, that good person, and then out of what's within us, we do the right things, and we're obedient to the Lord. And it's absolutely the case, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you want to find out who someone is, just listen to them for a while. And you will hear that, and you'll know what their heart is. It won't take very long. In verse 46, the Lord asks an interesting question. You know, a lot of people claim to be Christians, right? And Jesus said, "Well, if I'm your Lord, why don't you do what I tell you to do? Why don't you do what I've instructed?" And I think that's very important. We need to be true in our belief to Christ, true and faithful. Sharon, you want to read 47, 48, 49? Years ago, I worked in Hunters Point. We're building apartment units there up on top of the hill. Every time we'd go to the Niners game or something like that, I'd look up there and I'd see those apartments we worked on. And it was kind of a tough place to work. It was not the easiest to get in and out of. And when you were there, you stayed until you were through and then you left. It was just the kind of neighborhood you didn't want to dilly-dally in. They actually suggested that don't dilly-dally, get out. But we built those on a rock. I mean, it was a very, very high point, and the foundations were great. When we'd go in, we'd pass a house that was a yellow house, and it was like this. It was just a little slight angle leaning, and I thought, oh, that house someday is going to fall. Why? Because it was built back before they believed much in foundations. And if you're in San Francisco, you know, the earthquake place, they've had two pretty rough earthquakes, and maybe more than that, but in our understanding, the two big earthquakes, and always kind of thinking there might be that next one. Jesus said, if you'll follow what I teach you, it's like someone that goes in and builds their house on a good foundation. When we're observant of the Word of God, not only observant, but we're faithful to execute what the Word of God teaches us. And I built a house in Fremont, and we dug very, very deep. We have pieces of concrete that's 6 foot wide, 2 foot deep, and they sit on a row of about 16 or 17 piers that go into the ground about 30 feet. And why is that? Because they're real close to a fault as well. And so we did it according to the plan, according to the engineering. I'm not worried about that house falling. Anything can happen in an earthquake, but that house is built to the best of our ability. But if we didn't put a foundation, and every time it rained, you might have to worry about it, because there would be a chance that it fall. When we're kids, we sing the song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the rains came, the house stood firm. And then the foolish man built his house on the sand. When the rains come, it went flat. That's the way of it. We want to build our house and our lives on the rock, Jesus Christ. And anything less than that is going to be a disaster. We don't want a disaster. Anyone have a comment? I'm sorry I didn't. Anytime you want to say something, just raise your hand. I will back off for a minute. Wow. Sister Marilyn? So things can work out, can it? Debbie?
In 2007,
So in about 2 months, if you want some limes, we'll have them. Donnie? That's amazing. Amen. Brother Joe did take one of Don's orange trees and has it regrowing in his front yard. And he said it's doing good. But again, Don's right. Those oranges were as sour as could be. Anyone else have a comment? Brother Henry?
Thank you.
Nope. Amen. When you work hard, the Lord blesses that effort. Amen. And gives you strength, Henry. And we're just keep praying that God will keep giving you that strength. Anyone else have a thought? Let's pray for each other. Lord, we pray that you'll touch each one that's here tonight, each life, each family. Lord, that you'll give us your strength and your mercy and your leading. And Lord, let your word just challenge our hearts that we know your word, but Lord, let it be renewed and let us be obedient to every word and faithful to you. Lord, we know beyond everything else you love us so much and you died for us. We're thankful for your sacrifice and we're thankful for the power that lives within us. Give us strength every day. Bless this week. Touch each one, Lord, and bless this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Donnie, you have an announcement you have to make. And they want a song afterwards.
Yeah, right. So Sunday, next Sunday, after the morning service, we're having a special business meeting. It's May the 6th, and we're going to meet to address the pastorship and a change in the bylaws. Those two things will be presented in that meeting. This is the second official announcement per the bylaws, and there'll be an extra special third one Sunday morning. But we'll be meeting immediately after Sunday morning service. So do come.
Lord bless you. Have a good night.